Okay, here's another picture out my office window. This is a couple days before Christmas. These are actual, you know, it's interesting what you can see when you look out your office window once in a while. This is on the east side of the gym. This balloon came sailing in from the north. They were going to land in Carlos's cotton field, but it was not harvested yet, so they changed their mind and they went on over here. And they just sat down here in this wheat field. Right, this is New Mexico State land here. And they changed crews. These guys in this car jumped out, and these jumped out and changed, and off they went again. So another one of those beautiful days. Good day to be alive day. I want to acknowledge my authors on this one, this Jinsaw wear test. Greg Holt of the Lubbock Lab and Bobby Harden of Stoneville. Chris Delholm of Southern Regional and Rick Beiler of Stoneville. This is very much a collaborative test between a lot of folks. And I want to acknowledge especially Mike Pate, Downriver Cryogenics from Jefferson, Arkansas, Dwayne Alford, UcoGen, Yuma, Arizona, Dan Jackson of Meadow Farmers Co-op in Meadow, Texas, and then Kevin Watts of McGeehee. Is Kevin here, by the way? He's not here? Okay. McGeehee Producers Gym, McGeehee, Arkansas. You know, if you need cooperation, all you have to ask, Jenners, and it's just cooperation is amazing. So what we did is, the test was, where? Jinsaw where? Well, we can't do that in the lab. We just don't gin enough cotton. So we had to, this is a three-rep test. In Yuma, Arizona, the Continental 141 gin stands were one rep, and the Loomis 170 gin stands in Meadow were another rep, and then the Loomis 170 gin stands in McGeehee were another. Of course, in Meadow, they're processing primarily stripper cotton. Yuma, of course, far west, picked cotton, and McGeehee also picked cotton. Now, what we did, the way we ran the test, is we got two sets of saws for each gin. One we did not treat, and the other set we did treat cryogenically. And so I asked the ginners then, if you'll put those saws, either your choice, either number one or number two position. I wanted it in a high wear position where it got beat on a little bit. And I think they all ended up initially in number one ginning position. I know Dwayne did, and they did it in McGeehee as well. I think he put it number one in, was it number two in Meadow? Okay, number two in Meadow. And we this was the test. So it's a three-rep test. The instructions to the gin were real detailed. I said, you know, just run the soup out of them and change them how you would normally change them out in your operation. So I wanted a test that would be representative of how they would be treated in the field. Okay, the treatment, I give you a little, back up a little bit, what the treatment is as far as the saws themselves. First of all, they have to be completely degreased. When we, all these saws were supplied to Loomis. We purchased those from Loomis. We shipped them to Mike Pate. They had to be completely degreased. They were cooled down, that's supposed to be a degree, to minus 316 degrees Fahrenheit and held for 48 hours. This is using liquid nitrogen. Then they go through two heat treatments, two 10-hour heat cycles to 310, and they're held there for a little bit, like 4 to 6 hours, and they're cooled down to room temperature and they're brought back up again. This is about a four-day process to do this. So it's not just an overnight thing, but it is a process. And the way I got interested in this, well, of course, you know, I've been looking at tooth design, and someone contacted Harrison Ashley, it was Mike Pate, wanted to know about if we're interested in looking at heat treating gin saws and our cool treating them. And I wondered why. And talking to Mike, it turns out that they've been treating sawmill saws for a long time. And he said they can increase the life of a sawmill saw from 3 to 4 times by doing the treatment. And I thought, well, boy, that's really interesting. He also said he holds a patent on treating pantyhose. And you can do the same thing to pantyhose, as it increases the life 8 times. So I thought, wow, if it works for pantyhose, it ought to work for gin saws. So that's how we got into this. Looking at UcoGen, they ran them. UCO was an interesting thing. We also measured power. We hooked up to measure power on both test stands, feeder power as well as gin stand power. We thought you know, as Saul's where, there might be changes. Who knows? We don't know. We want to look at it. Well, in Yuko, we looked at started measuring power. Well, the gin stand that the cold treated Sauls were in was using about 30 amps less than the stand that the standard Sauls in. We got all excited. Hey, man, is this going to be really? And so we, Dwayne said, I can't believe I'm suggesting this, but let's stop and swap Sauls and see if the power follows it. Well, it didn't. There's something about that gin stand that, and in talking about it, both motors had been rewound, and probably the rewinding one motor had a little larger wire in it. And so, you know, if you're looking at energy, you might want to rewind your motors with a little larger wire. I think there's a real impact there. I had never thought of that. Anyway, the way they took the saws out, average of 8,629 bales per stand at removal, and that includes 370 bales of rude cotton. And those of you, and by the way, that's spelled properly, R-O-D, it's not R-U-D-E. Those of you who don't know about rude cotton, it's worse than stripper by far. And so it had that through it. The observation by the ginner was that the treated saws were noticeably sharper than the control saws. In fact, he said, you know, I could have left them in, but I took them out. This just to give you a quick view of those of you who haven't been in Yuko, very well, very nicely laid out, very well operated. Continental stands, there's no seed roll, powered seed roll in these stands, of course. Here's the bale press area. Here's for me and Alvarado, and this is the instrumentation for the power. And of course, we just put the donuts at the disconnects and went from there. Okay, McGehee producers, they averaged 13,833 bales per stand at removal. The observation is the treatment saws were dulled on edges of stack at removal, but the centers about as sharp as when installed. Again, he said he kept this mandrel as a replacement just in case he had to do it before the season ended. I learned something here. I was not aware that in a lot of areas the end saws on these mandrels, they use the thicker saws. Some of you are probably aware of that, but I wasn't. The standard .037, Joe, .040 or something like that? What is the thick? 045? Ross supplied those for us. But anyway, at this point, both McGehee and Yuko like the saws. Looking at here's the gin stands. Again, another very well-designed, well-operated gin. This is some of the instrumentation that Bobby Harden put in the gin to measure power. They were running a lot of round modules. Meadow is just south of Lubbock, for those of you who don't know. The Lummis gin, again, another very well-designed, well-maintained gin. Four Lummis, 170s. There's the bale press area. I wanted to let you know that Greg was out there in the field. There he is, helping install these things. Very, very good. Now, how do you get down to actually evaluating these things? The only set of saws I've got to look at so far are the ones out of Yuma. They start early, quit, and end early. This is the treated saws, and these are the standard saws. Of course, looking there, you can't really tell. But one of the things you do when you put your hand on a saw mandrel, and you pull against the saw. Well, you do that with the standard saws, and you just rub and you can push and make a nice back ratcher. You know, it's kind of nice. But on the treated saws, you can still cut yourself on those. You could, if you push a little pressure and pull back. And here's the picture. This picture shows the tail, I think. Here's the untreated, that's untreated. Notice the teeth, kind of a bird's head, how the points kind of knocked down there. Kind of dulled over and knocked down. That's the untreated, and all of them look like that. None of these saw mandrels had very few broken teeth. They just really didn't have many of that, but that's what the untreated looked like. Here's the treated. Notice how much sharper they are. It's just a factor of wear. Wear and not knocking down that point. These you could still run these saws. Looking at some HVI data, we thought through the ginning season, we wanted to take samples through the season. We thought as saws wear, there might be some differences. So far, and I don't have all the data back because Meadow is still running, we looked at length and uniformity. And these are, you know, no, I don't know what variety or who was running, but we took samples here 2,000, 3,000, and 5,500 bales per stand through it. Really no difference anywhere in length and uniformity all the way through here at UCO. Looking at Meadow, as far as we've gotten, the first set of samples were taken at 450 bales, second set at 33, and Greg has actually taken a third set that Chris Delholm will be getting to evaluate. But again, no difference at this point. McGehee, this one was a little bit of a problem during operation. The first set was taken 3,700 bales, second set at 10,000. Well, they'd actually changed the control saws just prior to this because they had a bearing problem, shaft problem, but the test saws were still running. And then here before the third rep, they'd actually changed all the test saws at approximately 13,800 bales just before the sample was taken. We took a sample anyway. But again, no difference through the season. McGehee ran their saws again about at 13,800 bales. And again, there's my grandchildren again, just so you can gaze upon them. Any questions about this? Yes, sir. Don't know. We didn't evaluate that. That would be something maybe to look at later. Meadow, who's still running, he said in his opinion the test saws are cleaning the seed better. And I don't know, Dwayne. I don't know what you could tell. Yeah, we didn't really notice it. You know, listen, subjectively. Yes, sir, Dusty. We haven't had a chance to evaluate that. You know, of course, these are still running, and we've got the power data coming, but we don't have. I don't know. I don't think so. In Yuma, it was in just on the handheld ammeter. It was the same at the end as it was at the beginning. We just didn't really see anything.
What was the cost?
Okay, cost. I knew somebody was going to ask that question. Of course, and Ross, you can jump in here if you want to. I mean, gin saws are about $5 a piece, more or less. In talking to Mike Pate, and of course you can see this is about a 4-day deal, so there's some labor and time. He says, you know, if you want to do just one of anything, it's $25 each. But if you get a set of saws or a number, it gets down around $2 a saw. You know, if you do a bulk. So I would say somewhere around $2. Somewhere in there, plus or minus, I don't know. So you're not looking at extremely large costs, I don't think. So if you can get some, you know, double the wear or something, plus, you know, labor, what? I don't know. This was done after the fact, and I think that's pretty routine. I don't know that it would replace the standard treatment. I wouldn't think so. Say it again. That's finished saw, yeah, that we used. Yeah. Ross?
One thing, and of course it was processed in different cotton meadow, while those gin stands had 170 saws on them. They aren't the latest cross section roll blocks in Imperial 3. They're a stacked 158 type. And there's a quote saw together. The roll blocks cross section area is different, the gin crunch different. So there are besides in addition to their processing for the cotton.
Right. Right, and they're up to about, let's see, 22,000 or 23,000 bales, I think, and still running somewhere in that range. So yeah, it's standard gin test. A lot of things are different, but anything else? Thank you for your attention.